Are you feeling stuck in your social work career, wondering if you're even on the right path? You're not alone, and that's why I created the Career Clarity Challenge. In just 5 days, you'll reflect on your values, discover your strengths, create a simple action plan, and learn how to use supervision as a real tool for growth. By the end of this challenge, you'll feel clearer about what matters, more confident in your strengths, and ready to take your next step. Sign up today. It's free, it's practical, and it could be the reset you've been waiting for. Just head to the show notes to join the Career Clarity Challenge now. Hello and welcome back to this collaboration with me, Marie Vakakis, coming to you from the Inside Social Work podcast, and Ashton.
Yes, me, Ashton Hayes, coming to you from Becoming an AMHSW, the podcast.
Yesterday we spoke about why do social workers feel guilty charging our worth? We had a little bit of a conversation about money, and today we're talking about how you can save money starting out and some of our biggest money mess ups, biggest blunders. How about you, Ashton? How do we save money starting out? And we're thinking more, I guess, private practice context, but
sure,
there'll be some useful tips, I guess, for everybody. What are your money tips, money saving tips?
I think my money saving tips, particularly when you're starting out, is to get your systems set up in place. So I think one of the things that cost me a lot of money, because it took me a lot of time, was to not have proper systems set up. And I think one of the reasons that I didn't do that, one, because I didn't have access to the information, but two, when I did have access to the information, I got a little bit caught up in, oh, I shouldn't outsource this, or I shouldn't purchase, say, for example, a case management system, because I could, quote unquote, save money by doing it myself. I didn't save money at all because it spent hours working things out and doing all of that work on my own. So one of the biggest money savers for me was to get a case management system, or a client management system, I should say. And the one that I use is Haluxy, and I know that there are a lot out there, but for me, that was an absolute game changer.
I agree. I cringe when I see people kind of getting really squabbly in those Facebook groups about, oh, but it's, you know, $2 of processing fee, and how do I save money, and can I do this? It's like, I'm going to be a little bit blunt here. You got to put on your big girl pants. Mm-hmm. You're running a business. Mm. You have an ABN. You're running a business, and they are business expenses.
Yeah.
And so if you're worried about that $2 credit card fee, just pass it on. Factor that into your running costs. Mm-hmm. Just like you go for coffee, how annoying would it be to have to direct debit to transfer the cafe owner, who then has to go at the end of the night and kind of match those things? So depending on the scale, having some systems in place are so, so important, and making that seamless for your clients. Mm-hmm. I absolutely hate having to pay by direct deposit. I can't stand it. I get so annoyed when people invoice me and I have to go find, and it's like, just, can you just charge my credit card?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just a little thing. But yeah, the system around setting that up is really important.
And you can save money on other things. You can paint your room yourself, or you can sew a cushion cover for your cushions in your room if that's what you want to do. But setting up systems, I have found, saved hours of my time, which was billable time, and allowed me to offer a service to my clients where they came in, they received the service, they paid, they got their rebate, and they left.
One of the savings that I've discovered more recently is upgrading some things to include more features that make other things obsolete. So, for example, I used to have Calendly, which was an online booking system for mostly for podcast guests. That's how I used it. Mm-hmm. And then I would have something like Zoom for interviews. And then I had Gmail for my email. Mm-hmm. And then I had a task management app. Mm-hmm. So I had four things. If you upgrade your business Google account, it does all of those things in one. So it has its own inbuilt calendar booking system. It has the task feature, which I showed you today, that is really cool. you can use that to replace Zoom because you have Google Meets mm-hmm. and it does all the emails. And so that has evolved. When I first started, I needed all those different things. And so that technology, the software, the programs evolve quite quickly. So that's one thing to look at is what have you got that maybe has some upgrades that might cost you a little bit more per month, but then make some of the other things obsolete. Mm. So I think using like the whole suite of a service. So, and if you use, let's say, because I'm a G Suite person, I don't need Microsoft Office because I have Google Sheets and Google Docs, and then I use the Gmail app. So it actually is, I still use Zoom because for webinars, I prefer that.
Mm-hmm.
It has meant that I've been able to cut out some other features and other things that have saved money by spending a little bit more somewhere else.
Mm. I think if we have a look at someone who's very, very first starting out, so let's say you're renting a room for 2 hours on a Wednesday morning and that's your very first foray into private practice. It may seem as though I'm only seeing two clients a week. I'm only doing 2 hours a week. I don't want to have to pay, you know, $300 a month for Halaxy in Halaxy credits, for example. But the beauty of offerings that are out there at the moment is that there's often free trials. I personally went for Halaxy, and I just want to clarify, I am not affiliated in any way.
If Halaxy is listening and you do want to sponsor the podcast, please get in touch.
See,
hashtag sponsor me.
That's running a business, isn't it? The beauty of Halaxy for me is that it did start out for free and it was a buildable system that I could learn how to manage as my business progressed. Doing those free trials and looking into all of the features, like you just said, in G Suite there are so many features. In Halaxy there are so many features. There are letters templates. There are assessment templates, there is the Medicare rebate option, there's the credit card option. So all of those kind of options are out there, and that is something that I found very much money saving, because the more you spend on trying to save money, something that might take you 3 hours is essentially going to cost you 3 hours worth of client fees. Something that you pay for that costs you half of that is ultimately going to save your money.
I agree. And I used, back then it was called HealthKit.
Oh, right.
Remember? Did you use it that
that's
long ago?
Predates me. I used another one before that.
And that's one of those ones where as the features evolved, it's meant you can cut out other things. So you can cut out a separate fax. You can cut out, there's a few things. As you were sort of talking about the investing in different things to save time,
mm-hmm.
one of the other things that I've thought of is, it's this tipping point. It's almost like buying in bulk versus not wasting things. So at the start, I would be printing things out by the page at Officeworks, and then it got to the point where I thought if I buy quite a large inkjet printer, that was a big investment, but then the printing cost per page dropped significantly.
Yeah.
So that after about a year, that balanced itself out. And then I bought like a binder and I bought the whole puncher. So mm-hmm. some of those things were bit of a strategic thing of, will I use it enough to make it worthwhile?
Mm-hmm.
And then always balancing time with savings. And the first expense, my first thing was to get an admin person to do reconciling of my accounts because I hated it. And I thought I'd rather see one extra client than do an hour of bookkeeping.
So then I started
weighing up that how much admin time would it take me versus seeing a client. But when you're first starting out, I know it can seem it's balancing risk and reward. So a casual booking of anything's going to cost more.
Mm.
So then you might go into take the risk of subleasing so that you can have the room booked but at a cheaper rate. It might be in co-sharing spaces. It could be in some of those DIY things. But picking strategically, I think, what you want to work on. One is group supervision.
Mm-hmm.
I attended and I still have group supervision, especially when I'm working towards an accreditation. So my EMDR supervision, I did a lot of that group.
Mm-hmm.
I do that with my Gottman supervision as well. So sometimes that can be a little bit more cost effective.
Yeah.
And even I've had people as a group get together and then get me to come and deliver group supervision. So even if there's not one readily available, you can create it.
Yeah, you absolutely can. And I think group supervision is great, particularly when you're working on something as a niche. So we offer very specialized individual group supervision, but we also offer the opportunity to come along into a drop-in, drop-out group soup for those who are wanting, for example, to write their practice standards. And I think the other way that you can save money with things is to purchase packages. So often people will offer a package that's a little bit cheaper. So in training, for example, so I recently purchased a training in, more in a package than by module because that was cheaper for me to do so. But very early on, you do have to be quite thoughtful about how you're spending your money. That's really important. I think you and I both get that. But it's also worth doing a little bit of an audit around the amount of money that you're saving by doing it yourself versus how many extra clients you need to have. Like you said, it can be one or two extra clients and it saves you a fortune.
Yeah. The other thing when it comes to money savings is having a really good, well-communicated attendance policy.
Yes.
Because if someone is a no-show and you've allocated time, that's money you don't get back. Mm. And so being able to support clients to attend appointments because they are coming to you for treatment and they can't get treated if their bum's not on the seat.
Mm.
And so you allocate time for them to do that. How do we get them attending? And if they can't or choose not to, that they still pay. And that I know is confronting for some people, but if you buy a movie ticket and you get sick before the movie's still playing. If you buy tickets for a concert, the concert, the person's still there singing. So many things work on that. And so another way to think about saving money is wastage. Where are you losing it?
I think that's an excellent point. The concept of a cancellation policy is so confronting to so many social workers, particularly if you've gone from provision of a service of free counselling, for example, into private practice. In a free counselling space, the client may not turn up for all kinds of reasons, but there's no impact. They can still come the next week. Whereas in private practice, for example, if you've got 2, 3, 4 cancellations last minute in a row, you lose a day's pay. And that's a huge amount of money to lose. When you explain to people clearly with transparency, you allow them to engage in their own accountability and it just makes you more available for people. If a client does say to you, you know what, I've realised it's not right for me, I can't commit right now, then a space opens up for somebody else who really is able to commit. It's not about being punitive. It's about making sure that your business runs smoothly and that you're available to those who are able to come and see you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what about the blunders, Marie?
As someone who likes bright, shiny objects, I have a collection of tech that probably has not been used. I have a big ring light and a little ring light and a two handheld ring lights. My actual biggest wastage is getting excited by training that expires before I do it.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And so as we spoke about in an earlier episode in the series around ongoing professional development but having a skill or a niche, once I started refining what I was learning, I made less of those random purchases. But at the start, I kind of felt like I needed to. I felt under-resourced and maybe a little bit anxious about it. So I did training in everything. Mm-hmm. And I would buy a training and then I'd forget about it, or I wasn't really great at putting that into my diary and protecting time for that.
Right.
And so I think wasted trainings as well was one, and several ring lights. So if anyone needs a ring light, check out Facebook Marketplace. I probably will have some on sale.
I think the training one is a classic. I think there are so many of us who see an on-demand training or see a training that they think, yeah, that's great, I can get that done within 3 months, and then the 3 months passes. I think tech for me also, I will often think, yes, that's a great solution for me, purchase it for 12 months and then realize I've actually never used it. I did get charmed by a particularly good salesperson in JB Hi-Fi and purchased what is quite a useless tripod and ring light all in one that falls over every time I try and set it up. The lighting is far from flattering and my phone falls out of the little casing. So that was me falling for a really great sales tactic, and more power to the salesperson for getting me to buy it. But I do actually have a large ring light that I use, and that works really well. So it is about, I think a lot of the time I want to be able to provide well for those who come and see me. And so I convince myself that I need this one extra thing.
I'm a bit the same, and I fluctuate between what's just getting started and then optimizing, and what is causing a traffic jam or road, like what's the bottleneck.
Mm-hmm.
And so like recently I updated my laptop because that started to become the bottleneck. It couldn't cope with editing podcasts, for example. So it limited time when I was on commute or at the office, mm-hmm. and I wanted to be able to edit a podcast. I couldn't. I had to wait till I got home to my desktop. And so it was this balance of upgrading that made other things move through quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the same with my phone for a long time. I had a really old phone,
right?
And I was not using it for anything other than making phone calls and Spotify, which it's fine. It's probably what, you know, it's for. But once I upgraded that, I could take more reels. I could take some notes. I could record a few things. So I started to be able to use more features that reduce a bottleneck from somewhere else. So I've always tried to find that balance of what's getting started and what's optimizing. And when you get into podcasting, one of the most Googled things is what's the best microphone for podcasting?
Yes.
And yet that's the least important thing about podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
When you're getting started, it's what's my topic? What's my niche? Who's going to listen to it? How do I ask questions? What about storytelling? There's a million other things. And we're very focused on the consumer thing. So I did have a very simple mic. I still have it. It's my backup mic. And then I slowly upgraded. But I had this one, I've heard this one analogy, I don't know, visual for, so imagine a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll draw it for you here because, you know, you're face to face. And so we have at the top of the triangle, you've got time. And then we've got price on one side and quality on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only ever have two of those three things.
Yeah.
So you can have high quality and maybe it's quick, but it can't be low in price.
Yeah.
It can be low in price, maybe high quality, but it won't be quick. Or you can get it done quickly. It can be cheap, but it won't be high quality.
Mm-hmm.
And most things can fit into some version of that.
Yeah.
Podcast editing, for example. I can get it done reasonably well, high quality, if I spend a lot of time editing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheap, but it's cost me time.
Yeah.
Or I can have a quick turnaround in high quality, but it's going to cost me something.
Yeah.
And so once I sort of looked at that triangle, I started to think, what am I prepared to, what's it going to cost me? And money's, when you're in a business, time is money. And then I got to think, what am I prepared to save money on versus could I see another client in that hour?
Mm.
Could I do business development? And I think that's relevant whether you're seeing two clients a week or 20. If you've got some of those systems in place and some of those templates and some of those automated payment features, maybe that two clients can be three.
Yeah.
Because you've been able to automate some of those things. And so it's really, I think it's a helpful way when you're starting out to think about what can you save time on that can get you doing more of the actual work that generates income.
I would agree.
Any last minute money tips?
I think investing in the things that will ultimately lead you to being better in your role, good training, good supervision, good location, those are the things that are ultimately going to save you in the long run.
I agree. And one thing I've learned from the YouTubing space is just get started, get going, get consistent, and then optimize. So perhaps some of this stuff is for a few weeks or months down the track. Just get started. Don't let it overwhelm you. When you are starting out, you don't actually need a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind as it evolves and you get comfortable that you can make some adjustments and some changes to save money, increase revenue, and have a good user experience.
Great.
and come and buy our ring lights. We should have a garage sale.
You have a sale on ring lights and tech.
I'm sure I'm not the only one who has a drawer full of all that expired tech and phones that need to be resold. Thanks for listening, folks. Hope you enjoyed this episode about money savings. And tomorrow we will be talking a little bit about, I don't know, the myth of we should work, do the work we love for free. So why do we have to work for free? Stay tuned for that. It's coming up tomorrow. Are you feeling stuck in your social work career, wondering if you're even on the right path? You're not alone, and that's why I created the Career Clarity Challenge. In just 5 days, you'll reflect on your values, discover your strengths, create a simple action plan, and learn how to use supervision as a real tool for growth. By the end of this challenge, you'll feel clearer about what matters, more confident in your strengths, and ready to take your next step. Sign up today. It's free, it's practical, and it could be the reset you've been waiting for. Just head to the show notes to join the Career Clarity Challenge now.